and other players wanted to get in on the Space Act. And the Australians had a great offer, in a sense, because they had the Woomera Weapons Research Establishment facility at Woomera, which was established particularly, absolutely and specifically for the British effort to have their own nuclear deterrent. And their own nuclear deterrent required them to have an intercontinental ballistic missile which could deliver a warhead to Russia if the Russians attacked Britain. And it was at the height of the Cold War, and it was a very, very, very tense international sort of period that was happening. But Australia turned out to be right in the thick of the space game by having this unique facility at Woomera. And the British were testing their Blue Streak rocket, which was the first stage of what was going to be a multi-stage rocket with a warhead on top. It was definitely an offensive weapon. It wasn't something which was going to be big enough to carry a person into space. But nonetheless, it was right in the space game. And all of that sort of came to fruition very shortly after I joined the ABC. And off I trotted to Woomera quite regularly to witness and to broadcast. It had to be on radio. There was no possibility of television links live in those days from such a distance, Woomera being, you know, many hundreds of kilometres away from Adelaide. And I set up a radio links from Woomera to broadcast on radio live the launching tests of the British rocket and eventually of the multi-stage ELDO rocket, as it was called, the European Launcher Development Organisation, with the Europa program, which was a polyglot rocket with the British on the bottom, followed by the next stage was French, and the next stage was, I think, German, and I think this satellite was going to be Italian. They're all going to be sort of layered in sort of succession, higher and higher, until they actually got the full thing going. And I learnt my sort of on the run. I'd never done anything like this before, live broadcasting, and least of all live broadcasting from a remote part of Australia. It was absolutely quite scary in a way. Because I found myself standing on the back of a flatbedded truck with what we call a breast microphone, which was strapped with metal plates wrapped around me with this microphone. So it was hands-free, and the microphone was up in front of my mouth. And I could then have two hands on a pair of binoculars, a mile or two away from the launch pad. It's far enough away that you couldn't pick up an ABC radio station. Mm-hmm. So we had to go by the clock. Pockley, you'll be on at 7:15 a.m. on the dot, you know. And so with my watch synchronized, I would watch until 7:15 a.m. came around, and then I spoke. And I spoke with no feedback, not knowing whether it was going through, and sort of made do with this sort of commentary. And in fact, on every occasion that I broadcast one of these launches, it didn't go off on the first occasion. And so the people at Woomera said, this Pockley fella, he's a jinx on our programs, you know. I'd do the countdown, and then I'd say, well, it's still there, you know, it hasn't taken off, and we're waiting word as to what's going on out there, and now we're right in the middle of the desert here, and the shimmering haze is coming across the gibber desert, and trying to make something interesting out of it. And they said, oh, well, we'll come back to you when we have something more to report. Back again probably tomorrow. That was what would happen. So I actually got some rather sort of brutal practice at the art, if you like, of live radio. The sort of thing which... for which you really can't have any training. You've actually got to do it and learn from it. Now, that paid off later. I did a broadcast from Woomera of the launch of the RESAT satellite, WRESAT, for Weapons Research Established Satellite, which was the sort of the end of really any effective space program by Australia in Australia, which we could go on about how Australia had the tremendous opportunity to develop a space program from here, but let it slip right at this very point.
That was Australia's first and only satellite for a long time.
That's exactly right. And I think that was 67, I think.
November 67.
Oh, you've got it. November 67. Thank you. Now, this was, how did this one come about? After we'd been trying to get this European rocket off, and it eventually got a satellite into space, but it didn't last for very long. It didn't get into the right orbit and all the rest of it. It wasn't at all successful, and the impetus went out of it. It wasn't a very cohesive operation with all of this multi-lot, polyglot sort of crew trying to sort of coordinate. And it wasn't the happiest of situations, because when things went wrong, there were disputes between the different national parties and so on. But the RESAT satellite was all Australian, when the Americans had been also using the Woomera facility for some tests of their Redstone rocket, which was unlike the British rocket, the Eldo rocket, Europa rocket, but it had the capacity to go up high enough, fast enough to actually put something into orbit. So the Americans had a spare one, which they didn't know what to do with, other than to take it back home. They said, "Australia, you might as well fire off this, this firecracker. And if you can put a satellite on the top, well and good." And the Australians in South Australia, in Adelaide, at the Weapons Research Establishment, which has its laboratories in Adelaide, and the University of Adelaide physics team, built a satellite very fast, by today's standards, a very primitive satellite. It just had a battery which would run out, and that would be the end of it, and couldn't last for too long. But they put this on top of the Redstone rocket, and they tried to fire it off, and the first time it didn't go. The strange thing about the countdowns in those for the Redstone rockets was that you got, the classic countdown to 10, 9, 8, down to zero when you expect it to go off. But didn't, because that was a zero for another count before the actual rocket could take off. It was about another 10 seconds after that. And this was rather tense on the first occasion. After you got down to zero and then counted up to 10, still nothing happened. It sat there. It didn't take off. Oh, well, back again tomorrow.
We can come. Broadcasting this live.
Yes, I was broadcasting this live with this pair of wires trailing across the Jibba Desert, being plugged into a telephone line somewhere away. No feedback from the radio station, as master control, or anybody to say, you go, Pockley, yes. And you got a crossover from the announcer or the news or whatever to sort of smooth it out as far as the listeners were concerned. And so the first time it didn't take off, and so we come back again, and it did take off the next time, and it got the RESAT into orbit when going ping, 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 and it circled the Earth for a while, and eventually its batteries ran out, and it completed its mission. But it was quite an achievement that it was an Australian satellite on top of an American rocket, for sure, but used Australian facilities for the blast off. Well, all of this added up that I had a bit of a library of experience now of the space game, primitive though it was in Australian comparison with the American effort, but I also had the confidence that I could do broadcasts of them and make them hopefully interesting, informative, and all the rest of it, with a bit of drama associated with it. And so it was a natural progression when the Apollo missions got back on track and began to launch their first manned flights, I put up to our program managers that we should be right in on this.